You're listening to News New Mexico, where it is understood that whenever you see a successful business, someone once made a courageous decision.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
Hold on to your lug nuts. It's time for an overhaul.
Turn it up, son.
I'm your huckleberry.
I don't give jobs, I hire men. You won't give me anything, and I won't give you anything.
Collision, sir!
Whoa, whoa, relax. We're not even moving.
There's no crying in baseball!
We are News New Mexico for Tuesday, January 10th, 2012. Jim Spence is here. I'm Michael Swickard. Rachel Pulaski's posting. We have in studio Aaron Henry Diaz. We've got newsnm.com is our website. Just glad to have you there. Do you know, I realized I mentioned this was Buffalo Bill Cody's the day he died in 1917, and I never read any of his stuff. Here's a Buffalo Bill Cody quote. "You who live your lives in cities and among peaceful ways cannot always tell whether your friends are the kind who would go through fire for you. But on the plains, one's friends have an opportunity to prove their mettle."
There you
go. I think that's very good. In studio, we have Heath Houselman, nmpolitics.net. Talking about funerals this morning. Welcome,
funerals.
Heath.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Glad to have you. So people raise money to run for office and pay for funerals.
Yeah. That's what Bill Mattis did, at least.
Is there a problem with that?
I think so.
Why?
It's not illegal, though.
No,
there's nothing in. There's nothing.
Hey, when somebody dies, you gotta pay for the funeral.
Well, apparently, the way the city election code is written right now in Las Cruces, you can raise money for an election and spend it on whatever you want. The election code just doesn't regulate.
Did anybody go to Disneyland? That's what I want to know.
But they could.
No.
And it wouldn't be illegal.
Aaron, you're not going to Disneyland?
We didn't go to Disneyland. No. Fortunately, the loss didn't allow us to go to Disneyland.
And didn't spend it on razor blades either. So those are two things we can rule out.
What? This is radio. You can't see him.
I'm sorry. Hey, he's been here for an hour and a half. I'm going to start beating up on him.
So, Heath, talk about this. All right, a guy was thinking of running for mayor, former mayor, so he's thinking of running.
He thought about running in 2011.
People wrote him checks.
Yep.
He noted it that his accounting is perfect, is it not? Apparently. Yeah. He wrote it down, whoever wrote him a $50 check or a $100 check. And then he decided in conversation with his lovely family that he would not run for mayor.
Right.
And that left him a bank account. And instead of writing checks back to the people who gave that to him, he took the money and was benevolent with the funeral costs of somebody else.
Certainly not a bad cause to donate to.
A relative.
Right. His sister-in-law's husband.
Yeah.
Not brother-in-law. Sister-in-law's husband died and he donated the money to pay for the funeral, to help pay for the funeral. But that's a really slippery slope. You spend it on that, then you can spend it on living expenses. You could spend it on, hey, I need a new car. And then it can become, what I said in my column is that's practically inviting bribery. You know, I've got a credit card bill I need to pay off. Who can I take an official action for that wants to donate the money to my campaign so I can do that?
They call that Herman Cain's disease, I believe, don't they?
Yeah,
that's what he basically did.
Still caning people, huh?
Yeah.
Caning people. Yeah.
So why would we think, since I think we all generally agree that this is not, I mean, we don't think any rules or laws were violated, but clearly the system, that's not right.
There should be
a
rule.
Okay, so if we all agree to that, what makes you think people who are in the system, who benefit from the current system, are going to vote to take away their own advantage?
You know, I ultimately don't think it benefits them. Uh-huh. It contributes, like so many other rules from Washington on down to local government throughout the country, to the public perception that their public officials are not serving them, they're in it for themselves.
But if the incumbency reelection rate is 95%, then maybe it does benefit them.
Maybe it does.
Well, so, I don't know. Aaron?
I kind of agree with Heath a little bit, but in a different perspective. If our election laws, especially here in Las Cruces, which we're speaking about, if they were to make it a little more structured, it would also protect the candidate and the campaigns ultimately. And any time we can have more transparency, especially transparency on the local level, I'd assume everybody wins. But, of course,
But I think that's a good point. You know, Bill Matisse looked at the law. This isn't illegal. It's a good cause. I'm going to do it. Well, I think he should have had the sense to say, this is not a good idea, even if it's legal. He, you know, it was legal. And so you provide more structure, candidates aren't going to make those mistakes.
Right.
Well, now, I tell the story that when it snowed heavily, I was driving down a road, and this guy came whipping by me very fast, spun out, hit the curb, got out of the car, looked surprised. I chugged by him because I wasn't going that fast. He got back in the car, rocketed past me, spun out, hit the curb again, got out, and looked surprised. And then, I'll be damned, he did it a third time. This time he hit a telephone pole and he was done.
Yeah.
But he looked surprised all three times. Right. Could Bill Matisse look surprised at the fact that this caused a fervor? Or do you think he should have known?
I think he
should have
known.
This was going to be a hot topic.
I think he should have known. And I'll say this. There are problems on the state level with the laws, too, about what you could spend. This is not the first funeral that campaign money has been spent on in the
really?
State of New Mexico. It happened with the legislature.
But those guys keep voting, though.
Yes.
Yes. It's kind of nice that they keep. No. I mean, the dead people. They still vote. So we got to support them.
So, Heath, the story came
he's
out.
He's going to let that one go by. He's just not going to go there.
We're always trying to be serious on this show, and you're
right.
The only one that's always kicking in there with a cheap
this
joke.
This coming from Jim Spence.
Yes.
So, now, all right, you got 30 seconds,
we don't
Jim.
Probably have enough time to discuss this, but I want to kind of set it up. So the spaceport is out there, but the biggest metropolitan area closest to the spaceport is the Las Cruces area. There's no road to the spaceport from Las Cruces.
There will be now.
But all of a sudden you see a waiver of environmental study, impact study to be done to get the road built there.
Yeah.
How does anybody else get in on the waiver of these environmental impact studies? Can you set a blueprint for us on this, when you need an environmental impact study and when
my
you
My understanding
don't?
Is it's a decision that's up to an official.
An official?
Yeah.
That sounds like there's a bribe in there somewhere.
Sounds like
Sounds
like there's a potential in the system, a potential what an auditor might call a weakness.
I just made that up. There is no bribe,
bribe
involved. Please do not send me a nasty email.
No,
they're
go ahead.
Send it.
He doesn't mind.
They're
going to
send
mind
it anyways.
We are News New Mexico, 14 after the hour, talking with Heath Houseman. NMPolitics.net is his website. We'll be right back.
The music of Bon Jovi is coming to Sunland Park Racetrack and Casino. Rock out to Bon Jovi's legendary music with Wanted. Thursday, February 9th. Doors open at 6:30 and the concert starts at 7:30 p.m. Tickets only $20 per person. Wanted and the music of Bon Jovi. Thursday, February 9th. Plus, join us as the 2011-2012 live thoroughbred and quarter horse racing season continues every Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Sunland Park Racetrack and Casino supports responsible gaming. For help, call 1-800-572-1142.
Post time is 12:25 p.m., so don't miss a single minute of the action.
Sunland Park Racetrack and Casino.
Take I-10 to Sunland Park Exit 13.
New Mexico has rich reserves of natural gas and oil that benefit New Mexico in many ways. The oil and gas industry provides reliable energy that helps us to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. The industry also supports over 26,000 high-paying jobs. And get this, New Mexico's oil and gas industry pays over $6 million in taxes and other revenues to New Mexico's state and local governments every day. That was nearly $2.2 billion in 2010. These dollars pay for our teachers, build our public schools, and fund our universities. And communities across New Mexico benefit whether or not you have oil and gas in your area. With continued access to state, public, and private land, the oil and gas industry can continue to grow while protecting our environment for the benefit of New Mexico and the benefit of all of us. Learn more about New Mexico's oil and gas industry at www.nmoga.org.
One minute I'm fine, then out of nowhere I'll get this terrible pain in my hands. Another day, my face is swollen. It's so frustrating. I'm 27, but I feel like I'm 72. I was going to get married next summer. Now my wedding's on hold. My life is on hold. I've never felt so scared and alone. I want answers.
I want answers. I'm a junior in college. At least I was. I'm home now because I'm so sick. Now my hair's falling out. You know how embarrassing that is? It feels like I'm going crazy. My friends don't call me anymore. I don't care. I don't care about anything.
I don't care about anything. I don't even try to hide the rash on my face with makeup anymore. Today I was so tired, my mom had to help me get dressed. I'm depressed. I'm terrified. I need to know what's happening to me.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where we try to help New Mexico businesses every single day.
Give me 40, you'll never see me again.
All right, let's talk some money here. We are News New Mexico, Tuesday, January 10th. Jim Spence is here. I'm Michael Swickard. We have Aaron Henry Diaz. In studio, we have Heath Houselman. You are writing on NEMpolitics.net about campaign finance.
Yep.
You seem to be the only one.
So far. On this issue.
So how are you making money writing about campaign finance? Oh, no, I need to.
They still advertise on my site for some reason.
Good for them. Yeah, good for
I'm
them.
Glad.
That's because everybody goes there.
Yeah, so.
It's a great site.
Thanks. What's the story about reform?
We had the state Republican Party and some others. The Doniana County Republican Party was one of them. Bernalillo County Party, I think, sued to try to void the state campaign contribution limits that took effect with this election cycle. Largely based on the Supreme Court Citizens United ruling. A judge last week, he didn't issue a final ruling, but he issued an injunction, so he put on hold enforcement of the law as it relates to regulating federal campaigns. He said state law doesn't regulate federal campaigns. And as it relates to independent expenditures, which are funds that are set up to benefit or oppose a candidate without coordination with the candidate, allegedly. So anybody could come into state. Susana Martinez's PAC, which has half million dollars, could set up an independent expenditure to say, we're going to take out Michael Sanchez, and we're not going to coordinate with his opponent, so I could take donations of unlimited size and spend them for that purpose.
And so the judge said...
You can do that.
Said, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unless overturned by the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, which I don't know if it's going to be appealed or not.
So who has the dog in the fight here?
Everyone.
But I mean
the lawsuit was brought by Republicans.
Right. To keep it open.
Yes. There are a couple of PACs, that right-leaning PACs, that joined the lawsuit that say they want to form independent expenditures. There are a couple of individuals who are registered Republicans who said they want to contribute larger than the $5,000 cap to independent expenditures. So there appear to be people on the right who are ready to form these things. And
so does this cause then the Democrats to step away from it? Do they not want this?
No, I think they'll have to do it.
But, I mean, would
the
they
rules of the game
not?
Are the rules of the game. Democrats were largely responsible for the campaign contribution limits, although in the legislature there was bipartisan support by the end of things, for particularly in the Senate.
You have McCain-Feingold. What year was that?
Also
like
2002. A bipartisan bill.
A bipartisan, but...
Yeah, but the Supreme Court has said those rules don't apply anymore.
No longer apply.
You can't regulate... I mean, we're headed towards very little regulation, if any, of campaign spending.
Well, and I recall back to the 2008 campaign when President Obama was then Senator Unknown Obama, and he said, you know, I'm just going to take the federal financing because, you know, that's the fair thing
to do. Oh,
that worked. And then all of a sudden, after his campaign guy gained some traction, he started to whoop up on Hillary. He backslid and decided he could raise more money on his own. Well, money is in everything, isn't it?
That's what I mean. The rules of the game are the rules of the game.
Right.
And so Democrats will have to follow
the
Republicans' lead on this and form these independent expenditures. There's an example in the news today that Newt Gingrich got a $5 million contribution, not to him, but to one of these super PACs, an independent expenditure that doesn't coordinate with him. $5 million. They bought $3.4 million, I think, of advertising in South Carolina in the next 11 days. kind of money is it's hard to the argument from the left is little contributions don't matter in a system like that, and it's hard to see how someone's $100 matches up against 3.4 million.
Well, what you're seeing is these independent expenditures, not only on the statewide but nationally, they're taking the dirty work, they're doing the blunt of the dirty work, and that's one thing as observers in politics, obviously that's one thing that's never going to go away.
Right.
And don't you agree that what's good for the goose as far as Mr. Romney's concerned, he used this super PAC right. to destroy Gingrich after Gingrich was right. whipping him in the debates.
Legally, right. he didn't use his super PAC. It did it without his knowledge. Oh, or it would be illegal.
That's right.
Oh, he just didn't know. Well, I didn't know.
Super PACs, by the way. He was quoted yesterday.
All right. We are News New Mexico. More when we get back. It is 22 after.
Coach John Wooden of UCLA passed away just in the last couple of years. And I studied John Wooden very, very closely as he got towards the end of his life, because I don't know that anybody ever in the field of coaching achieved what John Wooden was able to achieve in his tremendous run as head basketball coach of UCLA. Wooden cited a 7-bullet-point creed that he lived by, and I think it's worth sharing. Number one, he said, be true to yourself. And I think what Wooden meant by this was, you know, there's so many people that go through life sort of in a phase of constant self-deception. They're constantly trying to represent themselves to others as what they are not, to deceiving themselves. And so Wooden basically quoted Shakespeare, of all people, when he said, this above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night follows day. Thou canst not be false to any man. So the bottom line is of course, Wooden, not a great fan of the liar and a very, very big fan of truth-telling, says basically if you're lying to yourself, you're nowhere. The other thing that Wooden said, item number two on his list of seven things in his creed, was to help others. This is pretty self-explanatory. A lot of people ask me, what's my favorite movie? And I always say, it's Groundhog Day. And I say, people look at me funny. Why would it be Groundhog Day? The great message in the movie Groundhog Day, which is with Bill Murray, curiously enough, a great comedian, not known to be a person who makes movies with great messages, is that the character in Groundhog Day, the great learning experience that takes place is he learns to help others. Wooden also says, make each day your masterpiece. And again, this is something that basically illustrates the importance of time and how precious time is and how short our time is on the planet. Wooden's made a big deal about friendship. He cited friendship as one of the most important parts of the human existence, and I think he took great pride in being a great friend to others, and he also did a lot of writing recognizing the value of being a good friend. He says, build a shelter against a rainy day. Too bad so many of us don't do that. You see such low savings rates in society and the consume today, the live for today mentality. Build a shelter for a rainy day. That's a really good tip. He also says, pray for guidance and count and give thanks for your blessings every day. What a great message on how to live your life, to concentrate on what you have instead of what you do not have.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where we look out for people who depend on paychecks from New Mexico businesses every single day.
I want my money. You took my $200.
Will you quiet down? You hear?
I want my $200.
All right. There are some people who want their money back. They've given contributions, and they want their $200 back. Or at least I think there is. We have Heath Houselman here, NMPolitics.net. Jim Spencer. I'm Michael Swickard. We also have Aaron Henry Diaz sitting in, who is a political commentator. So, money and politics.
Yeah.
How do you get it out?
I don't know. And actually, there's quite a movement right now to say you shouldn't get it out. Money. The Supreme Court says money is speech.
Well, all right. Let's run at it a different way. everybody who runs for office seems to come back better than when they went.
Yes.
Not run for office, but actually serve. Seems to come back from serving much better.
That's truer on a national level than it is on a state level, than it is on a local level. But yes, I think in general that's a true statement.
It's a way of building wealth.
It's a way of building prominence, which builds wealth.
Think free speech is money and money is free speech?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Do you know how to draw the line?
No.
Me either.
I think it's a very gray issue, actually. And you know, I'm glad that the Supreme Court and others are wrestling with it. I'm not sure what the answer is. We seem to be headed towards a scenario where regulation is all or nothing. You could spend unlimited, or we have full public financing. We seem to be headed towards those are our options. You could do one or the
other. Well, I'm more concerned about the fact that I see Romney, who has spent every day for 6 years, 20 hours a day, every day for 6 years, campaigning. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, what kind of drugs is this man taking? Because you cannot campaign 20 hours a day for 6 years and not be taking something to lift you up a little.
Now, and what is it?
Yeah,
what is the drug?
That is ambition, my friends.
Well, it may be ambition.
That is ambition.
But I think in most cases that's true.
I still don't believe they can. I think ambition would run you 14 hours a day. I think when you go between,
he really wants to be president. Really, really.
I mean, think back to Bill Richardson and how desperately. I mean, his drug was power.
Yeah,
it wasn't money. Getting rich was never. Never seemed to be his thing. It was having power.
It worked out.
He was
well
rich already.
It really motivated. Yeah, rich compared to us, not rich compared to a member of Congress. For example.
Well, rich compared to any other average Mexican citizen. Yes. His family's quite wealthy.
Right.
Well, the question would be: we are already starting on 2016. We got people talking about 2020.
Yep.
We have this continuous cycle, and the news media, of which Heath is a member, makes each thing that happens in New Hampshire sound like three 747s crashing together.
Right. And I don't care. We know who's going to win New Hampshire tonight. I was. Some of the headlines this weekend were like, you know, critical debate in New Hampshire. No, the New Hampshire primary's over.
Well,
you think
and
it's tight?
I subscribe to a well-known Washington letter, which I can't quote because it's part of the policy. They say that's game, set, and match for Romney. It's over.
Yeah, a lot of people feel that way.
Do you think it is for the nomination, though?
And there, yes.
Not for New Hampshire, for the nomination.
For the nomination. There are a lot of people who feel that way. I think it's going to be – he would have to implode to not win.
Wow.
I think for
the nomination.
Yeah, for the nomination.
Well, he's got to get 75% Republicans to get behind him before that happens.
Yeah, and he could implode. I mean, we've seen – candidates implode this whole process.
Do you
believe they've all taken turns except for him?
You know, like with GW,
yeah,
they had dirt on him that they waited until the last weekend,
and they
had it the whole time. They could have used it at any point. They waited strategically till the Saturday before the election.
It could have been used against Romney last time if they had it. I mean, he was a serious.
No, no, he wasn't the nominee.
No,
the Democrats didn't have to. Didn't have
right,
to.
Right, but
do
other
it.
Republican candidates could have used it.
They could have.
McCain was the safe bet in 2008. Romney's the safe bet now. I don't see Republicans doing anything different.
Sounds like a yawn to me.
Kind of.
We are News New Mexico, 30 minutes past the hour.
My 12-year-old, Jamil, he suffers from asthma. If he ever got the flu, it could seriously threaten his life.
The flu can make some health conditions worse, such as asthma, diabetes, heart disease, or kidney disease. African Americans are at greater risk for some of these conditions. Getting a flu vaccine is the single best way to protect yourself and your loved ones from the flu and possible flu complications that can result in hospitalization and death.
Not getting vaccinated puts you and your family in harm's way. Why would anyone do that?
Be vigilant. Protect yourself and your family from the flu by getting vaccinated. Visit www.flu.gov to see if you're eligible for a free vaccine and to find a flu vaccine near you. It is the single best way to protect yourself and your loved ones from the flu.
Spread the word. Not the flu.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Department of Health and Human Services.
Hey, Jim Spence, we're on break right now. We were talking on these breaks sometimes about the 7 habits of highly effective people, and I love the number 7 habit, which is sharpen the saw. He was looking out the window. He saw one of his neighbors who was sawing down a tree, and he went back and did something. He came back. That guy was still out there sawing that tree down, so he walked out. You know how people like to watch work?
Yeah.
And he said, boy, this looks like a hard job. And this guy's sawing away, and he said, oh, man, this is just awful. And he said, well, maybe you ought to stop and sharpen the saw. And the guy said, I can't do it. I'm too busy cutting the tree down. Yeah. Sharpen the saw.
Amazing concept. And basically, I think how it applies to us is, you know, there's some fitness aspects to life that you got to pay attention to. You have to have spiritual fitness. You have to, and a lot of times what you can do is you can get that just by appreciating nature. A lot of times nature will give you a great, great sense of spiritual fitness. There's another aspect of fitness, mental fitness. This means developing your mind. It's taking some time to improve your mind by studying somebody like Stephen Covey, who is a great effectiveness
coach.
You can
even listen to us on News New Mexico.
That's a stretch.
That got the laugh.
That's a real stretch. Now, the other aspect would be physical fitness. Now, I've been told that I have the body of a Greek god, Flabius. I don't know if you're familiar with this god.
Flabius, yes.
But
As we digress.
But the point being about physical fitness is I literally...
That's sharpening the saw.
Is sharpen the saw. I actually do get on my exercise bike several times per week, and it helps my cardiovascular system. It helps my circulatory system. And so sharpening the saw means treating your body as something that is akin to a machine. It has to be well-tuned.
Let's say you're a mom and you want to put on the perfect birthday party for your twin daughters. So you get a clown and he dazzles everyone. And you order a cake and have the bakery put something nice on it.
Happy birthday, girls.
And you hire a pony to give everyone rides. And it all goes perfectly.
Best party ever, Mom!
And you're the perfect mom. But even if it doesn't go that way and your clown doesn't dazzle, and the bakery doesn't spell out the right message,
happy birthday, Gil?
And the pony doesn't give everyone rides, it can still be the perfect birthday party because kids don't always see things the way you see them.
Best party ever, Mom!
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of siblings in foster care who'll take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is Congressman Steve Pierce. If you want to learn more about what Congress is doing to create jobs and cut spending in Washington, then I invite you to my website, pierce.house.gov. That's pierce.house.gov. That's where you can easily correspond directly with our office, get help with a federal agency, apply for a passport, or find out the next location of a town hall meeting. If you have a specific veterans or healthcare issue, our office handles cases like yours every day, and we might be able to help through a process called casework. We can't promise the outcome, but we will fight for you. Just telephone 1-855-4-PIERCE. We're serving the people of Southern New Mexico effectively and efficiently through our website and toll-free hotline. I hope you will take advantage of these services, pierce.house.gov. We also report our daily activities on Facebook, so you can always be up to date with what we're doing to impact lives here in Southeast New Mexico. Thank you.
Paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where our business is New Mexico's business.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Alright, that does sound like New Hampshire. They're voting now. They're tired of people been walking around for 2 years.
Yep.
If you read Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail of 1972, you know that most of these campaigns started out 2 years ago and got local people, and they have been basically doing it every day for 2 years right now.
Yeah. You know, to me, one of the most interesting things about New Hampshire is that 4 years ago, it's escaping me now, but whatever the biggest newspapers in New Hampshire.
The Manchester Leader.
I think it was them. It was one of the two or three biggest. Didn't endorse in the Republican primary. They instead wrote an op-ed saying, don't vote for Mitt Romney. He's a flip-flopper. We don't trust him. Romney is set to swing into the state today and win
this
it easily.
This is Heath Houseman, the NMPolitics.net. Jim Spence here. I'm Michael Swickard. We have Aaron Henry Diaz here. We're talking politics. How much can we tie the politics to business? I mean, you know, they say when your unemployment is really high and you got all these foreclosures and your construction industry is on its back in a pond with a rock on its chest looking up in lifeless eyes, pretty much that says you're going to change presidents.
Do people believe that it would matter if we changed presidents? I'm not sure they do. We changed presidents. We went from an extreme to another the last time, and has the economy
gotten
better?
Well, that's what Hoover didn't get a reelection. The FDR came in talking, we got to stop all this big government stuff because Hoover was doing
what alternative are Republicans proposing right now? I mean, I don't see a candidate that Republicans are excited about, which is why they've gone through all of them rising to the top and then crashing.
They got Progressive Light right there on the shelf for your perusal.
Is there anybody on the Republican side that you think to yourself, now that would be a good president?
I don't know. I think that's for the Republican voters to
You, when you just say...
I don't know. I mean, I have a hard time getting excited about... I mean, the job of the presidency has become so big. Obama came into office. He kept Bush's economic advisors.
Yeah,
on some of the most critical issues, has there been a big difference between the two of them?
But what's the question?
Some people might say yes, like maybe Jim Spence. I don't know. But I would say there hasn't been as big a difference as voters who voted for Obama thought there would be.
Aaron, here's the question for you, which is you're 24. Everybody who's elected president has to grow into the job. They usually don't really know much. Are mostly style, not substance, when they become president. Certainly Harry Truman knew nothing. They hadn't kept him in the loop about anything. He grew into a pretty good president. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody you see that you say, this one could grow into a good president?
You know, I might be taking a shot here, but I actually think of we have potential with... I think a Rick Perry, I think even a John Huntsman, and I know I'll get ridicule, Ron Paul even to a degree. Everybody was afraid of Obama getting elected. He had all these drastic, contrasting ideas. I think what happened day one, he gets elected, he goes to his desk, and boom.
Did he
here, President, here, Mr. President, this is why... we can't do this or this.
Right.
So I think there is potential, but are we going to see that? Are we going to actually get the chance to see that, or has the establishment already made their mind up?
Heath, I don't know. Do you think any of the ones you know could grow into being
a
great president?
I think lots of people could grow into being a good president. And I think, you know, there's potential with Obama. I actually don't think he's realized it yet. There's potential with some of these candidates. But the constraints of the job are such, you're right. I mean, Obama came into office promising universal health care. Day one, universal health care is, you know, whether any of us think it's a good idea or not, his base supported that. He gets into office, it's off the table. Regardless, I still think he wants it,
mm-hmm.
but he gets in and the constraints of the job are such that it doesn't matter.
What are the realities of the job?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he screwed up health care as much as he possibly could, given the hand he was played. Heath.
I don't think you'd agree with that if we'd passed universal health care. You'd think it was much worse than what we have now.
You're right, but he made it worse. So I got to ask you this question. We're running out of time in this segment. But you wrote a very interesting column. We haven't had you in here for about 3 weeks, but you wrote an interesting column on your take on Judge Hall's rule on redistricting of the House districts.
Yeah.
So I'd like for you to sort of share your observations on that.
It's the Democrats' fault that Martinez's plan got passed. She, to take a pessimistic view, she proposed to gerrymander the districts less than the Democrats did. Really, I don't actually think she was gerrymandering. I don't think she cares about protecting her own party. I mean, she's as much at odds with Stuart Engel as she is with Ben Lujan. I think she cares about having competitive districts. When legislators are in danger of losing, they're more likely to vote with public opinion And so many of her proposals are things that the public is on the side of. I mean, she intentionally looks for those, that she's more likely to get her agenda passed when Democrats and Republicans are more in danger of losing elections.
And wait, when you wrote that, I immediately cut out that line that said, imagine if the Democrats had a proposal that was closer to the center than hers.
They would have won.
And that question, imagine. Can you imagine it?
Do you think that the same thing's going to happen on the Senate lines?
I haven't looked at those maps, and I don't know. I looked at the House more closely than the Senate. I don't know how much difference there is between the plans, so I don't know.
Well, it's the problem with some of this is like a tornado in New Mexico, which has a commonality with the divorce in New Mexico. You know the commonality, right?
Somebody's going to lose a house.
Right.
Somebody's going to lose a house trailer, yes. All right, that's an old joke, but... In it, we had several of the legislators end up have to run against. They've been in completely free districts, no opponents. They're going to actually, in the primary, have to run against each other.
Yeah.
Boy, that's almost unheard of, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it does happen with redistricting occasionally, but we have three cases now where sitting legislators are going to have to choose to run against another legislator or step out.
In the primary.
Yes. So, well, we have two in primaries and one in a general.
Another question for you, Heath. We got Hector Balderas coming on the show tomorrow. He'll be on at 7:30 a.m., state auditor, candidate for the United States Senate on the Democratic side.
Right.
What should we be asking Hector Balderas vis-a-vis his race with Martin Heinrich for the nomination?
How's he going to win? I mean, he is not the front runner. We're going to see some new finance reports coming up pretty soon here, but he hasn't proven that he can keep up with Martin Heinrich, though he did have a very good first finance report. It's hard to look at the Senate primary on the Republican side and say there's even a primary. John Sanchez hasn't been doing anything. Greg Sowards is working really hard, but he hasn't raised enough money to seriously challenge Heather Wilson. Balderas has established himself as raising enough money to be in this till the end, but he's still at a disadvantage.
Here would be the question, which is, how do we know he's behind? And it's because the kinds of people that they can call that have phones at home.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't have a phone at home.
Do you have
I don't
landline?
Have a phone. Do you have a landline at home?
No.
Aaron, do you have a line at home?
I'm 24 years old. I don't have a landline.
Okay. Nobody
I wish
here.
I was 24.
Jerry doesn't have a landline, I don't think. Do you?
No, I don't either.
Okay, we got five people here that they can't poll. And so how do we know that Hector is behind?
Because money wins elections.
Okay, so.
And Martin Heinrich has the money.
So, Heath, I know this is difficult for you.
I'm going to disagree. I think that Hector, because he is a New Mexico boy.
Yes, I mean.
He may actually be ahead and nobody knows it.
He has a lot going for him in the way that Susana Martinez had a lot going for her against Alan Way.
Yeah, they didn't.
Alan Way was a much worse opponent than Martin Heinrich is good at what he does. That's one disadvantage Balderas has when you compare him to Martinez. But at this point in the primary then, Martinez was not on anybody's radar.
Because Alan Way had too much money.
She was losing
so,
at that point.
All right, now we got to make you unpaid political consultant for Hector Balderas.
No.
What should Hector do to raise his profile and get the edge on Martin Heinrich?
Well, he's doing it. It's just a question of over time whether it will get him up.
Tomorrow he'll be on News New Mexico.
Republicans like him. You could find a quote on my site from Keith Gardner, the governor's chief of staff, talking about how great Hector Balderas is. Independents like him. He's a rural New Mexican. He's from Wagon Mound. He's got to play that up. I'm one of you. Heinrich is not.
I believe I think he's the leader and nobody notices it right.
I'll be glad to hear that.
Yeah, we'll talk to him tomorrow. We are News New Mexico, 45 minutes past the hour. You can go to newsnm.com and follow along.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Super Checking
from Bank 34.
Open a Bank 34 Super Checking account today with only $50 minimum to open. No monthly service charge, free online banking, and free user-friendly bill pay. No fee used at 43,000 surcharge-free all-point network ATMs worldwide. And interest on balances $500 and above.
Stop in for more details.
Bank 34, 220 North Telcher Boulevard in Las Cruces and 500 10th Street in Alamogordo. Bank34online.com.
Member FDIC.
Jenkins, I need coordinates now!
Captain, 2 nautical miles and closing fast. This blip here is Sonic's new Kick and Coney, a premium beef hot dog topped with chili and crispy onions.
Yes! And that's the bacon and blue dog with crispy bacon and blue cheese dressing. But what is this triangle that they're forming?
Sir, the toppings appear to be the perfect triangulation of saucy, melty, and crispy.
Are you sure?
Yes!
Ramming speed!
Introducing 2 new additions to Sonic's $1.99 premium beef hot dog family, the Kick and Coney and the bacon and blue dog. For a limited time, only at participating Sonic drive-ins. See menu for details. This is how you Sonic.
What do these athletic departments have in common? How about the University of Alabama Crimson Tide and the University of Washington Huskies, the Florida Gators and the Texas Longhorns, or the Louisiana State Tigers and New Mexico State Aggies? They all use sports accessories for their screen printing and embroidering needs. If these athletic departments use sports accessories, then you can too. Sports Accessories handles screen printing and embroidering for big universities and hundreds of little league teams as well. Visit the website at sportsaccessories.biz. Again, sportsaccessories, one word, .biz. Sports Accessories, located in Las Cruces, produces screen printing and embroidering for any occasion, sports-related or not. When it comes to screen printing and embroidering, you need to check out Sports Accessories. Call 575-526-2417 to speak to a screen printing and embroidering expert. That number again is 575-526-2417.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume to save on their very own USB drive. It's huge when somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is how I live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Well, it's break time, and Jim Spence and I are just sitting here, nothing to do, you know. We talk for a living, and since we talk for a living and they got commercials on, gosh. So we thought, well, if you're listening to us on the internet or on the podcast, we'd talk about Stephen Covey and his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. We went through those, and then there's an 8th habit, isn't there?
Yeah, and this is something that came out way after the fact. Covey did a great job, I think, of structuring the idea of effectiveness or success, however you want to define it. But he contemplated that. That series is now, I guess it may be approaching 20 years old now. But he did start to contemplate the 7 habits, and he came up with an 8th habit. And I love the 8th habit because I think it kind of reflects sort of my worldview.
And it is talk radio.
It is, actually, and it's one of the purposes for why we're on the air, and that is the idea that what do effective people do after, if they are committed to the first 7 habits, which we have discussed and we won't list right now, but the bottom line is the 8th habit is you got to teach. You got to teach principles. You got to teach. You got to share your wisdom, share your experiences, and even share the Covey habits, which is what we are doing on some of these podcast series where if you're on the radio, you're listening to commercials, and we have nothing against commercials.
We like
they pay
them.
The bills, and we run commercials here on the podcast. But teach is the idea of the 8th habit, and great, effective people. They will take time out. You see Warren Buffett do it when he goes to places like Columbia University and lecture along with Bill Gates. People like Tom Brokaw write books about the great generation that fought World War II. The greatest generation. And so what we try to do on News New Mexico, we have some awareness of financial issues and education issues and maybe some other issues. We try to teach based on what we've learned.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where New Mexico's business comes first.
Testimony has made my future seem, well, shall we say, dim.
Let's say jet black.
Is our future jet black? We have some people to ask about that. I'm Michael Swickard. We have Aaron Henry Diaz here in studio, and we're also talking with Heath Houselman, NNPolitics.net. Are you optimistic, Heath?
Yes.
Why? Why?
I don't know. That's too broad a question. I just had to
say
something.
Do you wake up optimistic? You've got a new child.
Yes, I do wake up optimistic.
And so,
although not about our political system.
Okay, because when you start raising children, I think there's a push to feel optimistic, isn't there?
I don't know.
That you're going to leave a better world than
you were
born into?
I would like to leave a better world. Some people look at it and say, I'm not going to have kids because this world is so awful, or you know, I don't want to put a kid through that.
All right.
Clearly, I didn't make that decision. But here, on Facebook, to use a cheesy example, political views. My political views that I list are skeptical. Religious views, I list hopeful instead of, you know, whatever. Democrat, Republican, Christian, whatever. So, overall, I am a hopeful person, I think.
Aaron, are you hopeful in this next, this, we got a year of heavy-duty politics. You hopeful?
Absolutely, I'm hopeful.
Do you really mean it?
You're talking to somebody who commentates on the political scene. Of course I'm hopeful.
All right. So where are you going with this?
Where I'm going with this is the fact that people who aren't hopeful usually sit out elections.
Mm.
Yeah.
Have a tendency to
that's true.
To pull back from it, to pay more attention to LSU, Alabama, and less about Mitt Romney.
Are they not hopeful, or are they just distracting themselves from the reality of things?
Well, I think that there was such an interesting thing when John McCain introduced Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
It changed the dynamic of the next 2 months, for better or worse, but it changed the dynamic without a doubt, right?
It was a shot of injection of energy for him.
And the reason was they thought that they could have someone, the people that were for this, that they could actually have a different looking Washington, D.C.
You know, I tend to think it was a shot of energy with the base, but I tend to think if McCain had picked somebody different who would energize the base and not alienate the independents, we might be in a different place right now.
Well, at that point in the game, you shouldn't have to make decisions to get your base excited.
Right, that was
2 months away.
There was a flaw with his campaign.
Right. Yeah, if it's August and they're not energized.
But I think that was the day that any independents that were on the fence said, I'm voting for Obama.
Yeah.
Really?
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Sarah Palin does not excite independents.
All right.
A vice presidential candidate can lose you an election.
So then, ergo, a vice president candidate could win you. How soon do you think Mitt will actually make his decision known who he wants?
When his campaign deems it strategically beneficial to do so.
I think when he goes higher than 25%.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Reagan reached out and picked George Herbert Walker Bush, his prime opponent. Yeah. He picked him for VP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly possible if anybody did become a credible threat to Romney that he might offer them that to step aside.
Step aside?
It happens.
Yeah.
It could happen.
Oh, is he going to pick Gingrich or what?
Well,
maybe you're right.
Santorum would be the wouldn't you think?
No, that's too early.
It's too early. Santorum, you know,
because he's
tied him in one state, but he's not going to do as well in New Hampshire. John Huntsman will do better. Ron Paul will probably even do better. Mm-hmm. South Carolina, Newt Gingrich will do better. I don't think there's an obvious second choice in this race.
No, well, Santorum has an uphill battle.
Well, yeah. Gentlemen,
he doesn't have the campaign organization in place either.
I had a luxury 20 years ago when I doing my PhD. The luxury was I paid absolutely no attention to anything to do with anything other than because I wanted to have it done in 30 months, which was my thing.
Yeah.
And so day in and day out, I read no newspapers, listened to no news, and this earth kept spinning around. Right. This country kept doing things. I basically was absent for the election with Bill Clinton and with the aftermath, and woke up about several years later and was aware of where we were, and we were about where we were before.
Right.
There's a lot of people feel that.
Yeah.
How do you get them?
I think a lot of people feel like Obama is Bush, was Clinton, was the former Bush.
Yeah.
And what's the difference? And that's why there's so much energy behind, among segments of the population, behind candidates like Ron Paul. Because they look and say, here's reason to hope. This guy is different than the system, the Democratic-Republican system. And there are differences between Democrats and Republicans, but a lot of people on the fringes or independents look at it and say there isn't a lot of difference.
Now, I started writing columns in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
And I have written columns pretty much in those
yeah.
42 years, mm-hmm. coming up 43 years. And I have noticed something in about the last 20 years, people have gotten a ton nastier, it yeah. feels like.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've gotten – actually, I think I have a thicker skin than I did before. But it just seems like people are just brutal.
I think it goes in cycles. This may be the most partisanly divided time we've had in our nation's history, but it's not so far out there that we've never been bad before. It's been bad at times in our nation's
history.
Well,
you watch the comments on my columns, mm-hmm. and sometimes I just look at them and I go, what were you smoking?
Did you read what I wrote? Right.
Yeah. Did you even read anything that I wrote? Because they have the standard reply.
But let's not forget that Democrats and Republicans once had a shootout on the Mesilla Plaza. At least we're not doing that today.
1871, they had two political groups, and they decided to march around the plaza. And they were in two different places, and if they had both marched clockwise or counterclockwise, things would have been all right.
Right.
But actually, one group decided to go clockwise. The other group decided to go counterclockwise, which meant that they ran into each other,
yep.
and they had been drinking, and they were armed, and there was a little skirmish
yep.
that wasn't real good for some people.
And that's why you can't take guns into bars today.
The
army had to come down and, you know, calm things down. We don't call in the army to separate Democrats and Republicans today.
That often.
We haven't had to.
Not too often. What's the change that the media, because now this is our first real
right.
Facebook,
well,
Twitter.
The media looks to set up fights.
Well, no, I mean, this is our first Twitter,
yeah.
Facebook. There was quite a bit of it for Obama 4 mm-hmm. years ago, but it really wasn't, you know, ubiquitous,
right.
if you use that word.
He made it mainstream. Now it's mainstream.
Now
for
it
everyone.
Is mainstream. How does it change how you look at the news?
First thing I do in the morning is check Twitter. And
I
don't
do
actually
too.
Go to a bunch of news websites. I go to Twitter, where all those news websites come to
yeah.
me. It's the fastest way to get news in the world.
Yeah, Twitter has evolved into the new AP wire.
Yeah, things are posted
AP.
There before they're posted anywhere
new
else.
Rip and read
set
from
on
Twitter.
CNN.
Yeah, I do the same.
All right. Talking with Heath Houseman, nmpolitics.net. Thanks, Heath, for what you do. I always enjoy our conversations.
I'm happy to be here.
And Aaron Henry Diaz, thank you so much for being here.
Not a problem. Thank you, Michael.
Always enjoy the conversations. We are News New Mexico. You can go to our website, newsnm.com.
Red Hawk Golf Club in Las Cruces, New Mexico is open. It's been the talk of the golfing community for quite some time, and now is the time for you to hit the links. A Kendai course, Red Hawk features 76 bunkers and water on 8 holes. With range from 5,500 to 7,500 yards, there's a distance that fits your game. Become a member and enjoy unlimited rounds of golf, unlimited use of carts, and special privileges. Contact Red Hawk at 575-373-8100. National PGA Hall of Famer Bill Eschenbrenner serves as Golf Pro Emeritus. Superintendent Alan Salter comes to Las Cruces after serving as the superintendent at Farmington's Pinon Hills, one of the premier public courses in the nation. Red Hawk Golf Club. Visit GolfLasCruces.com for more information or call 575-373-8100.